Hallelujah. Well, I've been having a good time. Have you? Praise God. Hallelujah. Really, I think the teaching portion of this tonight is going to be fairly short and very illustrative. One picture is worth a thousand words. You don't tend to forget pictures, you know. And even during the exhortation there, he was still showing me, refining this a little bit to make it so simple. And really, even in this short little exhortation tonight, almost every, the thread of nearly, and maybe every single message of the conference is going to be included in this. I see parts of every message, including, of course, we don't know what the great missing message was of LA's. We don't know what that one, but all the ones that we heard. You're going to, if you've heard all of them, you're going to see elements of them in there. So let's go, I think it's his mind to start like this. Go all the way back to the Old Testament, anywhere. Just pick the old, somewhere in the Old, no. How about 1 Kings? Yeah, just pick a verse. It's all good. That's right. Just pick one. It's all good. And then pinch together 1 Kings chapter 6, we're going to look at the same verse where we started off with Solomon building the temple. And then pinch together, or in Pottawatomie County we say pinch. Pinch together 1 Peter chapter 2. And that'll be, that we'll be back and forth there to start off with. Now, it's the building of the temple. I had never seen the aspect that Jim brought out. This is a passage I have taught on before about the building of the temple. And I'm going to bring back sort of the countermeasure to what Jim taught. I had never seen that aspect of the only sound that was heard was worship. I had never seen that. How he brought that in from other passages to this. I knew that it was silent during the time of the building, that there was no sound of a tool, an axe, or a hammer. I knew that part before, but I did not know the part about the corporate worship. And I'm just going to tell you, my daughter and I, Angie's over there, we both had an encounter with the Lord the night that L.A. was gracious enough not to demand his way. And the Holy Spirit, did you know Jesus thinks he's the head of the church?
Yes.
Yeah, I know. He thinks he has the right to come in and take over the service.
Yeah.
I mean, oh, he does. Okay. Okay. But we both had an encounter, and her, I think, even more deeply than me, that we're not going to be the same. Well, let me say it another way. Because really important this morning, Pastor Bronk says, and this is true. Now, I've been around this a long time. I've been to a lot of conferences. Change does not happen at the conference. Seeds are planted that can produce change. But see, I already know. Did you know there's a specific devil assigned to each and every one of you, whether you're here or whether you're really in conference by way of internet? I already know the name of the devil that's waiting for you Monday morning. His name is Samo. Yeah. Samo, Samo. My mom calls it back to your dailies. Back to your dailies. Same old, back to the routine. And if you don't change your routine, even though the seeds were planted here, it can literally affect your eternal reward. Literally affect how much you fulfill his calling on your life. It's funny, but it's not funny. Those devils are assigned to make sure you don't make any permanent change. Hallelujah. All right, if you haven't found 1 Kings chapter 6 by now, just look on with somebody else. So let's read verse 1, but then we're going to come down to verse 7. And it came to pass on the 480th year after the children of Israel were come out of the land of Egypt, in the fourth year of Solomon's reign over Israel, in the month Ziph, which is the second month, that he began to build the the house of the Lord. Now, this is the building of the temple. And we could go on. It starts describing all of these wonderful things. And there, I'm telling you, there is revelation knowledge in every sentence and every paragraph of every verse, which we just, you know, can't get into all of that. But now tonight, let's go back to the kind of where we started the conference, where the Holy Spirit started it, in verse 7. And the house, when it was in building, was built of stone. Now, for tonight, I want you to underline or pay special attention to these next few words. This house was built of stone, made ready before it was brought thither. Every stone was made ready before it was brought thither. Now, that's important, okay? So that there was neither hammer nor axe nor any tool of iron heard in the house while it was building. Now, I'm going to teach again my little part of the revelation that I had on this verse. But Jim added a great thing that I did not know before this week. There was a sound heard. It wasn't the sounds of tools and hammers preparing the stone. There was a sound heard, and it was the sound of worship. I just want to go back. I just want to go back to that. What night was it that the Holy Spirit? I just want to go back there. To worship. Was that not something? And I'm so dense. I'm amazed that the Lord puts up with me. I'm amazed that you guys put up with me. I'm going, what's going on? I know none of you was like that. That was me. I'm going, because I'm listening. I ain't hearing nothing. You know, I'm just, what's going on? I thought L.A. was going to teach. I brought my Bible and everything. You know. What's going on? No. And I'm not hearing the Lord or anything. And, you know, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, you know. But eventually I do get it, okay? And then finally after a little while I went, oh, tonight we're not going to teach about worship. Tonight we're going to do worship. Oh, I get it. Most of you were already long gone into worship before I ever even knew what was going on, you know. Oh, I worship. So then I worship you, Jesus. I worship. And y'all come to hear me. I don't understand. Anyway. Angie and I both had a breakthrough. And we had both testified to you. You know, you've heard me say before, if the way Jim presents, you know, at the prayer center, we usually call it the seven pillars. Jim presents it as like a four, he combines a couple of them and makes a four-legged stool kind of out of the thing. And I've told y'all, I've told all y'all before. You know, I've got my, it should be that the four legs should be equal. You know, prayer, fasting, the word, and worship. Is that right? That four? Okay. But, be honest, when it comes to prayer, on Gary personally, boy, that leg is really long. Man, I can pray. I challenge you. We'll have a pray off. Man, I can pray. I mean, that just comes in the Word. Oh, man. See, for me, that's fun. That's not work. That's fun. I don't understand people that don't like to get into the Word. It's got a long leg on that leg of my stool, you know. There's two other legs. Fasting. Little short leg about that. Anyway. I'm all tipped over. But now, and the other one was worship. I'm kind of low on those compared with the other things, okay? I never in my wildest dreams would have thought that the fasting leg on my stool would be longer than the worship leg. But that has happened this year. And it's really credit to my daughter, Angie. So, because she challenged me at the first of the year. She said, Daddy, I need a fasting buddy. And I went, go get you one. When you find him, you let me know who it is. go get you one. I mean, you know, no, I want to talk to you, Daddy. Oh, what? And she wanted to do Daniel fasting, you know. And I'd never done, I knew what it was. You know, if you can go back and read about a Daniel's fast, and it's basically no pleasant bread, you know. You don't get to have the, you know, the chocolate cake and the cookies and the Krispy Kreme donuts and, you know, and other things. It's virtually without meat, and it's mostly vegetables and that type of thing. And it's 21 days. So we did, and it's 21 days. Okay, so we did it, and be honest with you, she was helping me with recipes and how, you know, doing things. By golly, it wasn't nearly as bad. And then that fourth week, we took off, and I was planning on having T-bone steak smothered in pork chops, you know, but but I didn't. We ate a little bit of meat. Let's do another one. And now I'm just telling, you know, it ain't bragging if it's so. I'm just trying to communicate testimony, okay? So yeah, let's do another one. So we did. And so far this year, we have done 3 Daniel fasts, you know? And then most of the Mondays, not every Monday, but many of the Mondays, we did a full water fast. Those are hell. I mean, those are... Did I say that out loud? Is there any way to edit the video? Let me say it this way. My flesh does not like Mondays. Okay? Oh, dear God, you know. But this year, at least, the fasting leg of my stool, or my table, however you want to look at it, has gotten longer, and the worship lingo hadn't really changed, see, until Tuesday night, and something broke. I'm telling you, something broke. And I'm going to incorporate change when I get back next week. See, and I, when I say that, it's going to happen, because I don't leave change to chance. If you don't do something different on purpose, you're not going to have anything different. And God's not the one that makes that change. You make that change. You make it. Have I even finished one verse yet? Okay, verse. Now we're going to do this quick. And the house, when it was in building. Now, we're looking at the Old Testament type and shadow, a temple that was literally built out of stone. Okay? We have many verses in the New Testament. You are the true temple of God. God does not live in buildings made out of stone, made out of... God lives in us. We are the temple of the Holy Ghost, okay? We're going to look at a verse in a minute. You are the lively stones that God is using to build his temple. So this is a type and a shadow. So the building was built of stone, but now notice the stone had to be made ready before it was brought thither, so that there was neither hammer nor axe nor any tool of iron heard in the house while it was in building. Now, pinch, I had you pinch. Let's go over there for a moment. 1 Peter chapter 2. Really the only verse that I was going to read, but I read a little more, and it so fits the service that he had me deliver Wednesday night about Jesus being the cornerstone. I was just going to read verse 5. But then since the Holy Spirit quoted this verse during Jim's exhortation, back up into chapter 1, we'll just start in verse 23. It says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. Well, how were you born again? By the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Why did Jesus say, my heaven and earth will pass away, my words will never pass away? The word of God lives and abides forever. For all flesh is as grass. We're not going to be here forever. All the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. What did Jesus say? Go ye into all the world, teaching them to observe the same things I taught you. That is the gospel. Kids, keep going. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings. Now here's, Jim quoted this one tonight. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming, now notice, as unto a living stone, talking about Jesus now, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, you also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. I have to read a little more. That's our verse. But wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone. Who is that? Do you ever remove the cornerstone? That is the cornerstone of the building. You don't alter it. You don't chisel away on it. You don't move it. Everything else is built around that. Hallelujah. Him and his teaching. That's it. All right. Now, the real point was, you are built up a spiritual house. Now, you're a lively stone. God is building his temple. We saw back there in Kings, though, every stone is prepared before it's brought to be fit in its place. Another analogy, we're called the body of Christ. Every part in the body is different. Every part is necessary. And see, the illustration I'm going to use full-time ministers. You don't have to be a full, it's not just full-time ministers that are part of the temple of God. I mean, these two Aussie girls are as much a part of the temple of God as anybody else. We're all part. But he's trying to fit us to find our place in the temple. Can I say it that way? Now, since we all know that right now God is in the business. He's in the process of moving L.A. and Jamie and their family here to be co-laborers with this ministry. I'm going to use an illustration, and Kathy, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I'm going to have to ask you to come and be one of my, and Jim. Jim, would you come on up for a moment? And L.A., would you come and stand right over there? Now, we're going to come, I want to stay in width of the camera, so let's come just to the right, about as far as we can for the aisle, and I need you right about here, okay? Now, Jamie, L.A., by his own testimony, has been trying, well, he's, you know, they've been in ministry really for a long time. But, as by his own testimony, there might have been a stronghold or two. let's talk about this one, okay? There's a stronghold, which at the time you thought you were being wise and prudent and responsible father and that type of thing. But God is trying to fit him in his place in between these two stones that are already in their place. Is this okay? Okay, we got two. Okay, move over just a little. We got to have room for him. Okay, all right. So God is trying to fit. It's the whole family, but I'm just using L.A. He's trying to prepare this stone. Notice the stone is prepared not here, not when it's in ministry. The stone is prepared. Can I use the term in the quarry? Yeah. Q-U-A-R-R-Y. Yeah. There is a sound in the quarry. We'll get to that in a minute. There's hammers in the quarry. There's chisels. Fasting. Oh. Prayer. in the quarry, see? There's all kinds of hammering and pounding and noise and dust and dirt. But oh, here there's worship. There's only worship here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, put your hands down. That's good. All right. Whoa. Don't push me again. Anyway. Now, how am I going to illustrate this, Lord? By his own testimony, he had a stronghold. This is the stronghold. It's sticking right out that way. See this? This arm right here. This is called the fear of lack. Okay, this is fear of lack. And he didn't even know he had it. But the Holy Spirit looking at him going, whoa, doozy of a stronghold right there. And he needs to stay in the quarry. Here's one of the sounds. You know, there's no in the temple, there's no sound of the hammer and the axe. Here's one of the sounds. Shondala bracustan delibreto. Shondala bakubi andeste. The Holy Spirit, as we yield over to him, he's trying to let Jamie know, you got a big old stronghold here, boy. I'm trying to get rid of this stronghold. And Betsy, we talked tonight about we get impatient.
That's right.
We're ready. So what happens? It's a lively stone, right?
Yep.
Lively stones have legs.
Yep.
Okay? Lively stone says, I'm tired of waiting. I'm ready. But look what happens when I try and fit him in his place. Look, you see what's coming? Ah! He may have another stronghold over here called greed. I had that one. Now, ah! what if you're still pride in there that will not yield to authority? Ah! Bam! And finally, there's all kinds of trouble and confusion and everything. And the Holy Spirit, back to the quarry, boy. Back over here to the quarry. I told you. You stay. I want you to pray. I want you to fast. And you're going, I'm ready. And he can't see his own strongholds. He doesn't even know he's got them. Doesn't even know he's got them. This, the stones are prepared. Not here. Not in ministry. The stones are prepared in the quarry. Listen. You're all about to return home to the quarry. That's where the change happens. But not if you don't allow the hammer. Not if you don't allow the chisel. Not if you don't change something to allow the Holy Spirit to even show you the handles, much less purge the handles. But when the time is right, you won't have to. See, nobody really puts themselves in ministry. The Holy Spirit, he'll come over and he's been watching, he's been looking. He's going, you're going to fit now. You're going to fit. Look at there. Ah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is that good? Give them a hand. Is that good? Y'all can sit down. Turn to Matthew 21. And then we're really going to, I'm going to turn it over to each of the speakers this week and whoever else the Holy Spirit might say. Anyway, we'll get there in just a minute. Most of you have heard me tell this one. In the early days, when I was just still in the trucks, I listened to Pastor Dave for 6 months. This was way back in 1992. And we started it at the prayer center in June of 92. Now, I was already 45 years old. These young whippersnappers that already know so much, as young as they are, just want to slap them in love, you know. You know, I mean, when I think of what they know, they better show me their dust, okay? But, man, we didn't even start hearing these truths of this walk until I was already 45. I did not have years to waste. So it took me about 6 months to get convinced. I kept checking out everything Pastor Dave would teach, and I couldn't find where he was lifting verses out of context. It made sense to me. And I told my wife, I said, I'm going to start doing this. So in December of 1992, I don't know the exact day, but I know it was December of 1992, I turned off the CB radio and I turned off the regular radio, and I just made a commitment to the Lord. I said, Lord, I'm stuck in the cab of this truck 50, 60, 70 hours a week anyway. I'm just going to make the cab of this truck my prayer closet. And it took me a while to train myself, but today still I'm like Pavlov's dog. Touch the wheel, pray in tongues, you know. you get conditioned to it. Now, I do it really softly now. Most people wouldn't even know I'm doing it, but I do all the time praying in other tongues, especially when I'm driving. That's one of the reasons I like to drive here. Really quiet time, pray in tongues, you know. Now, early on, and I'm talking about within the first week of praying in other tongues. Now, and just like Dave says, and I'm really condensing this, I began to have little mini visions. I began to have little revelations, and I would write them down. I didn't even have a computer in those days. I had a spiral notebook, and if it was a vision, next time I had a chance to pull over, I can't draw worth a hoot, but I would draw my little stick men and trying to remember the vision, you know. But this one time I had prayed, I'm shortening this down, I had prayed a full 10-hour shift of driving, took 8 hours off, then I had prayed 5 hours into the next shift. That's 15 hours. Everyone say 15 hours. Praying in other tongues. And I hadn't seen nothing. I hadn't heard nothing. Didn't hear Gabriel's trumpet. No brush of an angel's wing across my cheek. No liquid sunshine coming down. Nothing. And so I just asked the Lord, and I prefaced it with this. I said, Lord, I'm new at this, and I know you don't have to answer this kind of question, but I'm curious. I've been praying for 15 hours. Can I ask, what are you doing during this time that I've been praying for 15 hours? I didn't really expect the answer immediately. As clear as you're hearing my voice, he said, I am driving the money changers from the temple. I remembered enough to know I am the temple. And I remembered when Jesus drove out the money changers. That's why I had you turn to Matthew 21. Next time I had a chance, I pulled over and I had a Bible with me. I always carried my Bible. And I read this passage starting in verse 12. Now notice, Jesus went into the temple of God. Hello, temple. Jesus went into the temple of God. And he cast out all them that sold and bought. Now notice, in the temple. It's fine to be in business. It's fine. Okay. And overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. And he said unto them, it is written, my house, let me stop, hello, his house. Hello, his house. My house shall be called the house of prayer. But you have made it a den of thieves. See, and that's where business is wrong. When business becomes covetousness, when business is all about greed, and especially if you're doing merchandising in the name of religion. But notice what happens. Notice what happens once the money changers are driven out. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple. Pat your own chest. Him in the temple. Hello, temple. He's purging us. And driving out not just greed, not just the money changers, but the Tobias. The Tobias. Sadly, I think the Moabites and the Ammonites have got rooms where they live in our temple. And we don't even know they're there. Do you know what exposed it? What brought to light the entrance of thy word bringeth. What exposed it was when they read the word. The only word they had was the word to Moses. When the word came in, it exposed in the temple. Oh my Lord. The Ammonites are here. The Moabites are here. And it was the same then as what Jesus did later. Nehemiah. We're driving them out. We're throwing him out and all of his stuff. And all of the mixed marriages, which represents a mingling between the purity of the spirit and the world. Now see, this is another change that happened. This really came through L.A.'s message when he did get to deliver. When he was talking about the high places. The high place. It's not like I'm not a Baal worshiper. I don't go to the bars anymore. I don't go to prostitutes. He said, but we drove all that out. We don't have any of that. But he said, those high places. And I got, to, I'm sitting back there and I'm going, surely this message is for all these other people. Not really. The Lord began showing me in my own life. Might be a couple of high places. You don't really pick this up so much in the King James, and I love the King James.
But in the Amplified Version, you know, in Timothy, where it talks about in the last days, people will be lovers of their own selves, and it goes through that whole litany of things. It says they love pleasure more than they love God. In the Amplified, that word pleasure, one of the meanings of it is vain amusements. Just empty amusements. And they love that more than they love God. Boy, those vain amusements can become high places. I'm just going to go there for a while. It's not talking about Castle, I'm telling you right now. It's not. I saw her. And if he is, he's going to have to talk louder than he's talking to me. I'm telling you right now. We love Castle. Okay. I'm probably going to get letters over that, but still. No. It's like, you see, now if it changes and they start bringing in rampant, blatant sin, then it's got to go. Okay? So, anyway. But it could be anything. Golf can become a high place. I know preachers that, I'm telling you, golf is a high place. Golf is a high place. It can be anything. So, this whole week, yes, sir. Okay, one more verse. Yes. Okay, hang on. I marked it, I think, somewhere. It's 1 Corinthians somewhere. Be turning to 1 Corinthians. Yes, chapter 6. Then we're going to give some testimonies here. So, anyway, there was a program. It wasn't Castle. There's one that I have watched. Now, Sue and I, just like Pastor Jim said, there's shows that we have watched, and they have brought in the blatant same-sex type things and the lesbian type things and all. As soon as it happens, okay, that's the end of that. Okay, we don't watch that one anymore. Okay. But there's other ones that are not that far, you know. But yet there's been a little whispering, if I can say, a little itching on the inside of me, like, okay, maybe, you know. But then I just keep watching it. Why? My flesh likes it. Yeah. It's entertainment. It's rest. It's a, quote, escape. You know, I'm not saying we don't need some escape, okay? But during L.A.'s message, one in particular, I'm not going to mention it because he may not be talking to you about it. But, okay, I think that one's going to have to go. That may be a high place in my life, okay? Now watch this. And this goes so good again with all these messages coming together. This goes so good with the Tobiah the Ammonite who had a room. God, the imagery is so strong. This evil, wicked person that God had said will never inherit with my children had a room in the temple of God, and the priest allowed it. Dear God. And then that same judgment came on me. And he's going, do you have Tobias? Look at this passage. 2 Corinthians 6, starting in verse 14. Be you not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. I hear pages. 2 Corinthians, did I say it right? 2 Corinthians chapter 6, starting in verse 14. I may have said first. I'm so sorry if I did. Okay. Be you not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? What concord, what agreement hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? Now this one, when Bronk was bringing that message about Tobiah, what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them, and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, because that's true, come out from among them, be you separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. You will be a father, I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. And if there was ever a horrible place to put a chapter change, it's chapter 7. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves. I'm waiting on God to do it. Holy Spirit will show it to you. Holy Spirit will show you that stronghold. But L.A., did he force you to step out and walk on the water? You had to eventually make the decision. We did too. I told Sue when we finally stepped out, and because God called us to do the same thing, and I told Sue, I said, "Dear, I'm afraid. I'm afraid we're going to wind up living under a bridge. We're in gunny sacks. I'm afraid, you know." And I got me a wife. You know what she told me? She said, "If we wind up living under a bridge and we're in gunny sacks, I'm with you. And I want you to obey God. I got me a wife. He that finds a wife finds a good thing. I have found a good thing." You hear me? She's going to go with me, see? Well, thank God. And I'm telling you, it looked like, I can't even tell you the number of times. If we're going to live by sight, I had a million opportunities to run back to the world. Still, and anyway. It does get easier, though, I'm telling you. Your own soul. There's times now, not so much recently, but we have opportunities. There's times I'll lay in the bed because maybe, you know, even finances, you'll go, "Shouldn't I be worried?" And I'm trying to work it up. Yeah, you know, in the natural, we should worry. No, I can't work it up. It's almost like my own soul is talking back to me now going, "He's already delivered us 10,000 times. Yeah, see, the soul can be trained, okay? Anyway. "But having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." Now I've got to stop. I've got to, because I want to get some testimonies. Let me give mine first. See, when we go back, I'm going to face same-o, like you're going to face same-o. Monday morning, I got to get up early, and one of the things I got to do is take my grandkids to school, and I have certain things that I need to do. Angie has a regimen. I have a regimen, and if we don't do anything different, we're going to stay just like we are. So I have got to decide on purpose to get back to the quarry. You have to make a decision. I'm going to pray. Whatever it is, there was a prophecy that came. God sent a lady all the way from Germany to prophesy to the prayer center. And what she said, I can't do it word for word. It was two parts. One of them, it says, whatever your weakest part of the message is, focus on that. Well, what part would that be for Gary? Worship. So I'm not going to leave it to chance. I am going to set, I know how to change. I'm going to set some time, like a doctor's appointment. You know, if you had a toothache and your jaw was swole out, and I mean, air touching it makes it hurt. You ever had one of those? Throbbing, and you call the dentist and you want in 10 minutes. You want to see the dentist in 10 minutes, and they tell you, "We can see you Thursday at 2 o'clock in the afternoon." And pain, and maybe it's, you know, it's Sunday, and they can't see you till Thursday. Okay? Is anything going to keep you from that appointment? I mean, there could be an invasion. There could be stock market crash. There could be locust plagues and 100-pound hailstones. You're going to the dentist on Thursday. Why? Because he can help you. The Holy Spirit is waiting for you in the quarry. He can help you. I'm going to set me some times that you're not going to be able to reach me by phone. Nobody's going to be able to get by. I'm going to set some time. I'm going to get away. And I'm going to, on that shortest leg of mine, I'm going to work on that leg. Okay? The other part of the prophecy she brought was, your sword has gotten rusty. Now, what is the sword of the Spirit? It is the Word of God. It is time to pull that out, take a look. So, how long has it been since I used this thing? Might be time to get a little WD-40, get the rust off of that, begin using your sword again. Watch what's coming out. Again, that was one of the messages. You got to watch what comes out of your mouth. You are framing your world. You are framing it. You're not, maybe, okay, someday I'll frame it. You already are. You are already framing your world. get the rust off your sword, and let's frame it according to the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Now, I'm going to do it in this order, L.A., if you don't mind. Would you come? And I didn't give him any warning, but it's your fault. You preach part of this. Think about it for me. All of these messages, when we get back and we face same old, you're not going, I guess, I don't know whether you're going back to Canada. Anyway, what kind of changes can be made? What kind of change can be made? Just think about it.
He says, think about it after he called me up. Hallelujah. I know for me, this has been a challenging week because I've never been on the front lines at this level, if I could say it like that. It felt like I was on all week, even though I preached twice. Does that make sense? There was no... In previous years, coming to conference was kind of like a bit of a party for us, but this was not so this year. We still enjoyed it, and we were still very blessed. But I'm maybe recognizing for the first time, I'm at a different level. Do you remember I mentioned last night that when I was in basic training, I was a kid, having a good time, playing at war. Not really understanding the gravity of the things that were being taught to me. Well, this week, I think that's really what I received. The days of playing at ministry, at playing at being a Christian, not that I was doing that consciously or intentionally or really all the time, but you understand what I'm saying? It's over for me. The gravity of where God is bringing me to now has really come home. So in terms of some of the things that I'm changing, I think definitely I want to spend more time in the Word. Not that I haven't been spending time in the Word. Clearly you have to spend time in the Word if you're going to be able to preach it. But it's one of the things that I believe that the Lord is saying, and I want you to spend more time in the Word still. And my efforts in terms of spending time in the Word were often focused on, okay, is there a message in here and how could I prepare this or how could I take note of certain things to be ready for another time or whatnot. But what I feel the Spirit has been telling to me is just read it. Just bring it in abundance. Just bring it in abundance. And I've done that to a degree. I have. You'd have to, right? But I feel like the Lord is saying, even more so, forget about preparing messages. Right now you're not preaching every Sunday anyways. So don't worry about preparing a message or having something ready. Just concern yourself with, assimilating it and know that when the time comes, you'll have the material to bring forth what I have for you to bring. So that's the primary thing that I believe the Lord is bringing about for me to change. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. And see, and he's probably going to tell them more as we meditate on these things and everything that's come forward this week. But I'm telling you, that was prophetic and absolutely true. Change does not happen at the conference. It's what you do after the conference. That's what produces change. Bronk, would you like to come next?
I brought my Bible just so I could remember how I am. I'm going to just testify. I just want to remind you, and it's so amazing how the daddy started this with that prophecy. It was like he just picked us up, put us on his lap, and said, I'm so pleased. Be tolerable with yourself in a right way. Because you're in a progress. Tomorrow, Kenny and I will fly home. We'll meet all our grandkids. Some of them will come in a few days because they're on a trip. But we've already got gifts for them. But during that time, the first couple of days, especially because we haven't seen them, we're going to be very, some people would say spoil. Let me just say we'll be very tolerable. They won't hardly be able to do anything. That we won't say, oh, they're perfect. My daughters say sometime to me, they said, Daddy, you'd have spanked us for that. I said, yeah, but you're not them, I want to remind you, I think if anything, my part is just to say, I want to remind you, it's just so powerful what Gary has said through the Holy Spirit, is that even the illustrations that the Lord allowed me to share this week, this morning to speak about staying on the wall, and the other one was a couple of services with the illustration with the lab coat, and saying we're technicians, we're in there fighting for this. But amazing enough, the second service that I did that and ministered that just for a little bit, After it was over, Candy had a particular vision. It wasn't an open vision, but she had something in herself, and she saw it in a different aspect. She didn't know I was going to do this, but Candy, I just want you to share, just stand and just share what you saw about, because all of you have been in here this week and saw that illustration, but share what you saw about that beautiful lab coat that I was wearing.
When he was up here, I was sitting there, and I was thinking he's going to ask me to come up and put this coat on him, and it was just like within just 2 minutes, I just started thinking, and it was going through my thoughts that it was like the Lord was saying, you know that white coat that you've just ironed and is real white, and it's all clean. He says it doesn't really look that way. He said, really, the lab coat is a mess. It's got blood, guts, tears on it because it's being used, and so it's not a coat that's a pretty thing. It's just a coat that you're wearing that, and it'll just stay that way. As we keep going in, I just saw it as being not a pretty white coat. It was more of a mess because of what the God's doing.
It's a mess, but how many of you know that He sees it as something beautiful? Because all of our efforts going in, like Candy said, though that lab coat, it's got blood on it, it's got sweat on it, it's got tears, it's got efforts that sometimes doesn't seem like it's going anyplace. But you've heard the expression, I'll be nice, they'd talk about the opera. They'd say, it's not over until the... let's see, how can I say this? The what? The large. Thank you, Gary. Very diplomatic. Very large lady sings. And here's the thing. If you come to a reconciliation that it's not over until it's over, until the large lady sings. Now, a lot of times we use that in an acclamation of a positive sense. Like, okay, the battle, it's not over until it's over. And I get that. And God's always going to come through for us. But if you reconcile this, and this is what really helped me a few years ago, if you reconcile, there is always going to be a war. There's always going to be a war. There's always going to be the possibility of going back to the same old, same old. There's always going to be the potential, as long as you come to a reconciliation as saying, look, the flesh is always going to be there. I'm always going to be able to hear, but to revert back. If I understand this, then I will not. Listen, when do we get to a relax, us radicals? 5 minutes after you get into heaven. I mean, don't relax just when you get there. Give it 5 minutes and make sure you made it in real good. Am I here? Yeah. Can I tour around a little bit? Because I'm going to continue to fast, pray, confess the word, you know, whatever. No, you're here. You're sure I'm here? Yeah, you're here. Okay, I'll relax. You're always going to have the opportunity to reel in the flesh. You're always going to have the opportunity, and that's those lab coats. They're dirty, they're soiled, but you're fighting for it. Let me just read. You don't have to turn there because I'm basically done. But let me read the words of Jesus and put it in the sense of what we have to go back to and say, I'm going to stay in this path. I am not going to be diverted. Famous, we all know these scriptures. Some of our go-to scriptures concerning the necessity of staying in the Word. Because if the Word that we've received, the whole thing, Mark chapter 4, the whole thing about growing in Christ is the maturation, the maturing. If it can stay there, it can stay there. Now I'm going to kind of change some words here just for a moment, but you'll get the idea. You'll understand. This is Jesus speaking, Mark chapter 4, verse 15. And these are they that came to the 2016 Dayton Conference, where the word was sown. But they that heard, and when they had heard, Satan came, how quick? How quick will he come? You know, I just wish that we could do this again next week, because I've had so much fun. I wish we'd go to Graders every week. I wish we could do... I don't know how, I don't know after a while if I could get in the door. But I wish we could just play. But I got to go back. And on Monday morning, I got to go in. And I got to go into my routine. And there's things that the Lord has said to me. And I've got to go into that place. And I've got to battle. But he's going to come. As long as I know this, it's all right. He's going to do everything he possibly can. He's already got a scheme. Satan came immediately to divert. It taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which were sown on stony ground, who when they had heard the word immediately received it with gladness and have no root in themselves, and so endured but for a time. And afterwards, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. How many of you know that he's going to do everything he possibly can? See, there's always a war. Some days the war's not so bad, but there's always a war. And especially when the word is sown like it's been sown, he's going to come immediately. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in will want to choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. But these are those who have come to the Dayton Conference, which have heard the word, and it has been sown on good ground, and they've heard it, they receive it, and they bring forth fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Go back, fight, resist the same old, and know that already, as we go back, Daddy's already said, I'm very pleased. Hallelujah. Amen.
Now, before I ask Jim to come up, and really he'll come up and speak a little bit and then dismiss or follow the Lord, whatever. See, no illustration is perfect. Wasn't that a good illustration, though, about having the stone? And wasn't that perfect? You know, but it's not perfect, and I'll tell you why. I'm gonna just talk to this half of the church now. See, in the illustration, it looks like Jim and Kathy are perfect. Don't tell them. They're not perfect. What? I'm never coming. This was my last conference, I'm sure. Never coming back to this. That's it, Jim said. Mark his name off right there. To open up to Philippians 3. See, and another reason that it's not perfect, the illustration was not perfect, is because it gives the impression like, okay, someday I will be in God's temple. I will be a stone. No, you are already a stone in God's temple. The stones, none of the stones are perfect. And I'm going to show you, even Paul, don't we revere and honor Paul and respect all that the man did? I mean, dear Lord, all of us are plagiarizing his stuff to this day, you know. But look what he says about himself in Philippians 3:12. Not as though I had already attained. Philippians 3:12. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after. If that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. In other words, everyone's got a calling. He had a purpose. He's got a place in the temple for you. And Paul himself, even the way he was used, and even at that moment, still being used, he says, I'm still pressing. That's what he says in the next verse. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. I'm not arrived. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press. And that's what the Holy Spirit's asking us to do. Yes. When you get back to the quarry, yes, it's time to press toward, yes, the mark. Hallelujah. Don't let that old devil of same old put you back in the same rut. Same old, same old, same. You'll be just like you are this time next year, and I will be too. No, it's time to press, right, toward the mark. Pastor Jim.
You know, this week, there has been enough teaching that's come forth. We've had 6 days, 2 services each day. Whether the service was dominated by worship or teaching, whatever it was, if we never heard another sermon the rest of our lives, what we have heard this week is enough that if we apply what we've heard this week, we will become all that God desires. All this week, we've heard, you know, enough about worship, enough about fasting, enough about praying in tongues, enough about the Word. We've heard just enough to where we know we need to do these things. And we've heard enough about the results that will come afterward. So that doesn't mean, well, praise God, I don't have to go to church anymore. No. I'm saying that to emphasize this week, God has delivered to us so much. If we just apply what we've heard this week, the growth will come. I remember, you know, years ago, when Kathy and I first got married, and we started attending a church that was what you would call a full gospel church, and we were learning about, you know, faith, confession, about the gifts of the Spirit, I mean, all these different things that we were learning. It was just new to us. I remember when I would look, you know, at our pastor, and I would look at guest preachers that would come in, and I had this idea that the battles they fight, well, you know, they've gone past the hard stuff. That the really tough battles, I mean, you know, I'm not where they are, so therefore life is a little bit easier for them because, you know, they're the preachers and, you know, the singers and the mighty men and women of God and all. I mean, that was my perception. And the truth of the matter is, a lot of Christians are like that. We look at people who are in ministry, and we begin to think that because that they are being used by God in ministry, that they have already beaten all the junk I'm going through, and they don't have to fight those kind of battles anymore. But that's not true. I mean, it's not true. It's just this concept, this image that we have. Because it doesn't matter who it is that was up here this week, we're still fighting battles. We still are fighting the I don't care if you want to call it the devils or the flesh, it doesn't matter. We're still fighting that stuff that wants to pull us out of prayer and everything else. We still have feelings. We still have emotions. We still have thoughts that need to be cast down. All this kind of stuff. There is no difference in this. And I know for me, one of the real battles that I have fought is reading the Bible. Now, I don't mean that I can't read. I can read. What I mean is this, that when I start reading the Bible, and I'm not making this up, this is the truth. I can open my Bible anywhere, absolutely anywhere, any chapter in the Bible. And I start reading, and usually within 2 to 4 verses, all of a sudden, I'm seeing, let me just create this imagery, I am seeing lines, threads that go from that verse over to this book, to this chapter, to this thing over here, all this other. I'm seeing teaching, I'm seeing sermons, I'm seeing all kinds of stuff that starts coming through after about 2 or 4 verses. And quite frankly, it is extremely difficult for me to just sit and read for the purpose of reading, because all of this stuff is coming up. And quite frankly, it's hard to make notes on all of that. And it becomes frustrating. Because it's like, all I want to do is read. Why am I getting all this revelation? I just want to read. That has been a real battle for me, and I have to really fight hard to read past what I've just seen. But, and you might think, well, why would you want to read past all of that? Well, because you study to show yourself approved, and that means more than just a couple of verses. And it requires discipline. And that's really what all that we're talking about here, it requires discipline. And I'll tell you guys, man, it's a fight. You know, quite frankly, it can be easier to conquer things like alcohol and tobacco and drugs and pornography. It can be easier to conquer that than it can be to conquer that area of discipline in your life to do all this stuff. It is a fight, and it's a fight for everybody. And I guess that's one of the reasons it's called, you know, fight the good fight of faith. The thing is, I've been in this long enough to where I now know that I cannot use anything as an excuse. I can't. Years ago, I didn't understand that, and it was easy for me to make excuses. Well, I can't because of, and you know, whatever. But now I realize there are no excuses. There is nothing I can use to justify not doing what I'm supposed to. Now, I don't live with condemnation every day, but the point I'm making is this. You know, greater is he that's in me than he that is in the world. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. You know, if you believe, all things are possible to him that believes. I mean, on and on this goes. Those are truths for every single believer. We don't have excuses, but we do have the empowerment to do it. It's a matter of us being willing to just say, you know what? I'm going to fight me and beat me, and I'm going to do this. I'm going to do it. Does it get easier? Some days it'll feel easy. Other days, you know, you don't want to look at your Bible. you don't want to, because it's a battle. But I'm telling you right now, here's the thing. You may do good for about 4 or 5 days, then you have a day of just like a total washout, waste. You know how it is. You know, you go to bed one night and you think, boy, I tell you, tomorrow I'm going to pray. I'm going to read the Bible. I'm going to worship. I'll even, you know, eat half my breakfast. You know, just. And then by the time tomorrow night's done, you realize you didn't even get started doing all that stuff you said you were going to do, and you feel lousy. Well, you know what? Okay, that's that day. That day is over. Now wake up tomorrow and go forward. Because those things happen to all of us. All of us. There are no exceptions. And I'm sharing this to encourage you to know that the battle is still the same. It's just what you fight may change throughout your life. You know, this week I'm fighting, let me just make something up. This week, bless God, I'm fighting tobacco. All right, well, hallelujah. I conquered tobacco last week. All right, well, this week it's you know, too much TV. That one may take a while to beat. I don't know. But you see what I'm saying? But yet, you keep taking the enemies down. You keep taking the flesh down. You keep taking all that junk. But we have to continue to be consistent. You're going to be days when you blow it, days where you don't. There might be weeks when you blow it. But you just say, all right, well, that's in the past. And I'm not going to keep looking to that past. I realize God sees me. This is a new day. And what is it that's new every morning? His mercies. His mercies are new. So he doesn't hold my failure or my lack of doing it yesterday against me today. He says, my mercy is new today. Now let's take today and let's make it a victory day. Let's go forward. So you guys, you know, you take this and receive it. And I really do encourage you, you know, consider listening to some of these sermons more than once. One of the things that we did from the Tuesday night service, I don't know how many of you have gone back and listened to the MP3 from the website or downloaded it, but at the beginning of that, you'll hear me give a very brief introduction. Hi, this is Pastor Jim Martin, and I let you know, take about 10, 15 seconds, I let you know, here's what happened in the service, and then essentially that entire service, all the worship, everything is on that MP3. So it's almost an hour and 20 minutes or so. Yeah, that is on there. It's all on there, so that if you want to play that and just listen to that worship again, it's there. You're going to be able to do that. So along with the sermons, along with everything, you know, this is available to you. So I just want to encourage you guys. You know, we've received a lot. We're all motivated this week. The teaching's been great, but, you know, Monday's coming. Or for some of you, Tuesday's coming. Whatever it is, it's coming. We know it. And it's almost like, you know, here we are, in this protected environment, in this building, in this property, and right out there on the street, there's a devil. You know, he's got his shirt sleeves rolled up, and he's got his gloves on, and he's saying, come on, come on. Just step outside, just step off this property line, and I'm going to wail on you. Okay, that's a figure of speech, But we know that symbolically what it's like. The thing is, you just say, look, no matter how long you've been born again, you still have the conquering life on the inside of you. So I'm encouraging me with this, because I know I'm going to fight too. And, you know, it's not a negative confession. That is the reality of living for Jesus. And listen, I'm going to clue you in on something. Jesus fought these battles too. Because if he hadn't, he would not know how to strengthen us to win. He knows what it's like to be touched by the feelings of our infirmities. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now see, I've been in conferences and camp meetings and so forth where, you know, at the end of a service like this, they, you know, all right, we're going to have prayer, and everybody comes up for the prayer line because they think that the preacher is going to impart to them spiritual strength to make it through. That can't happen. I can lay hands on you. I can impart, you know, sweat from my hand and dirt from germs and everything else. But I cannot impart to you spiritual strength. That comes from God. That comes from God. And I think sometimes we rely on the prayers of preachers more than we do on the presence of the Holy Spirit. He's the one who has been sent to be our comforter, and I mean, all of these things. And we need to rely on him. Everybody go ahead and stand.